Good morning and welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Liz Hoffman, your host of the show. Faith and Family is underwritten by our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin. We want you to be sure and check out their website and all that they have to offer. We have a link to Concordia on our website, kfuo.org. Well, this week on the show, we're discussing the topic of adoption. We're touching on everything from the process of how to adopt a child to legality issues, and we'll also visit with some parents and kids who are now a family thanks to adoption. Now, remember that you, our listeners, get to be a part of the show. We'd like you to call in or email your questions and comments. You can call or email anytime during the show. The numbers in St. Louis are 314-505-7850 or out of St. Louis, 800-730-2727. You can also email us a question or comment to family at kfuo.org. So let's get into today's discussion. And our guests today are two very special ladies who God has brought together through adoption. Ashley Garcia was in foster care for over 2 years, and she was 16 years old when she was finally adopted this past November on National Adoption Day. Liz Benstead, Ashley's new mom, is a middle school teacher and an academic coach in Westford, Massachusetts, as well as the state director for middle school student councils. God has brought the two together, and now they are living proof of how God has a plan for each and every one of us. Liz and Ashley, thank you so much for joining us on Faith and Family.
Well, thank you for inviting us.
We're very happy to have both of you. And Ashley, I'm sure it's a terrible thing that you're having to miss out on an hour of classes today. So we thank you for talking with us on the show.
Oh, no, that's fine. No problem.
Well, we're happy to have you. Liz, if you could, tell us a little bit about, first off, I guess, why would you want to adopt in the first place?
Well, unfortunately, when I was 28 years old, I ended up getting cancer. I had uterine cancer, and which is very rare at that age. But, you know, I'll be quite honest with you. You know, I've been very lucky, knock on wood. Nothing has come back. But I honestly believe that in some ways God gave me the cancer because I'd always wanted to adopt, and now I was going to have to. There was no other choice.
So that was kind of your destiny. Tell us about the process of adopting. Once you decided that that was something you were interested in, what steps did you have to take?
I know each state is different, but in Massachusetts, the Department of Children and Family Services requires, it's quite a long process. I mean, a lot of people think, oh, you can just, you know, see a kid and want to adopt them, and, you know, next week they're going to be in your house. That's not how it goes. So I started my process in January of 2011, and the first step was I had to take a class through the Department of Children and Family Services, and it was a five-month class with, you know, other prospective parents that wanted to adopt from the department. We met every Monday night for about 4 to 5 hours, so through the month of May. And after that was done, we got our little certificate. Then you had to have 5 letters of recommendation. And on top of that, you had to do your home study. You were then assigned a social worker, your home study. Oh, and also we had to do a profile. They gave us, the first day of our class, they gave us these questions. And these questions were 150 of them, and you had to answer them in narrative format. Mine ended up being about 45 pages long.
Wow. So a little detail.
So the questions ranged from, you know, where do you live now? Where have you lived before? Do you have any children? Are you married? They ask you your preferences. They ask you your religious preferences. They ask you your grandparents, if there are any mental health issues in your family. Has anybody been has anyone in your family been arrested or been a criminal? The gamut of questions, just variety. And then, of course, they ask the general ones like, are you looking for a boy? Are you looking for a girl? What age are you looking for? What kind of things do you like to do? You know, what are your hobbies? What is your job? What does your job entail? You know, are you out of the home all day, or, you know, would you need a babysitter, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, and this was all part of what you call the profile?
It's called the profile, yeah.
Okay, and then you also mentioned a home study. What was involved with that?
Well, someone from the department comes out to your house, and they actually, you know, they spend probably a good hour or so. They go through each room. They look at it. They make sure that you have, you know, fire alarms, carbon monoxide alarms. They see where your child, the child that is going to be placed in your home, is going to stay. They want to make sure there's no hazards in the house, things like that.
Okay. What were some of the challenges or setbacks you had in this whole process?
I have to say I really didn't have any setbacks. My only thing was it took a lot longer than I thought it was going to take. I had finished the class, and I had finished my profile. And as soon as you finish your profile, even if it was done within the 5 months of the class, they could do your home study. So as long as your profile was done and you were in the midst of the class, they would do your home study. So I was assigned a social worker, and Anna came out and did my home study. And then we discussed what type of child I was looking for. And, you know, and then she said, okay, now we just have to put this in the system. It goes in the system, and as soon as you get your certificate, you know, you're in. All the social workers in Massachusetts will have, the adoption social workers will have access to your profile to look at it and read it and see if they have any children that match your description. So I think the hardest thing for me was, you know, you think that you do all that, and at the end of May, the phone is going to ring, and they're going to say, well, we have a child for you. And, you know, that didn't happen. So I did, you know, the month of May went by, June, July, August, September, October, and I was like, wow. this is really hard waiting. And it wasn't until January of 2012 that the phone rang.
Okay. And Ashley, what about you? Did you ever think that maybe you would just never get adopted?
Well, of course, yeah. Being a teenager, I think it's more harder to get adopted. I mean, I feel like people just want babies to adopt, not like a grown person. So, yeah, I never thought that I would be adopted.
Well, we are so glad that you were, and it sounds like you two are a wonderful match for each other. Liz, tell us about what legal steps you had to take for this whole process.
If you adopt through the department, there are no legal steps. The department takes care of all the legal aspects for you. You don't even have to have an attorney, you know, present or anything. They take care of everything for you. So it's not like going through an agency where you would need a lawyer to be your advocate. My advocate actually was my social worker, and she was there to guide me through the process. Every step of the way. She doesn't deal with children. She only deals with the adults that are the prospective parents that are getting a child.
Okay. So, and I'm sure that takes a big burden off of your shoulders to not have to deal with attorneys and all of that legal issues.
And it saves money, you know. But that's not why I did it. The money is not an issue, but you know, it's just an advantage. Adopting from the department.
Right. Well, tell us a little bit about how, as far as choosing a child, how did Ashley come into the picture?
I was looking at another child. The phone call came and it was about a different child. And the social worker came to our house, but she had said to me, you know, and this was, my social worker had found this other child. And it's kind of weird because you're talking about I have a social worker and Ashley has a social worker.
Okay.
It's kind of odd to think that, you know, I as the parent-to-be would have a social worker. So she, like I said, my social worker is my advocate, and she was always looking out for my interests and looking for, you know, placements. So we had thought we had found one child, but when Ashley's social worker came to my house to discuss another child, she said, you know, I really have to be honest with you, and, you know, you really want them to be honest with you.
Sure.
she says, I really think that you are much better suited for somebody else that I have. And I said, oh, okay. And she said, you know, she asked me, she's like, I know that you want an older child, but I'm not really sure how old you're willing to go. And I said, well, you know, we're in my living room and we're just having a discussion. And I said, well, how old are you talking? And she said, well, she's 15. And I'm like, that's okay, you know. So she said, you know, just our personalities were very much matched up. So on that end alone, we made the decision that we would then go forward to move on with the process.
What a wonderful decision that was, too. Ashley, tell us about the day that you found out you were going to be adopted.
I remember that it was after school. I had my social worker come in, and I don't know, it was going to happen. And when she told me, I was just in shock, and I didn't feel like it was going to work out. So, I mean, I was really excited at that moment.
So have you had other, I guess, setbacks or maybe disappointments where you thought you would be adopted and it didn't work out?
Well, I mean, I had my social worker tell me people that were interested, but then they just, like, didn't want to, you know, continue to meet me or anything. So, yeah, you can sort of say that.
And how old were you then when you were adopted? You were 16?
Yes.
Okay. Wonderful. Liz, tell us about, maybe was there any surprises with having a teen in your house with you for the first time?
Well, yes and no. I'm a middle school teacher. And a lot of people, when they find out I'm a middle school teacher, a lot of people are like, oh, they say, oh, I'm so sorry.
I have a middle schooler, and yeah, there are times, but they're also a wonderful joy.
They are. So, you know, I was definitely used to older children around me all the time. I do student council. I run a service class. You know, I'm always out with older kids in the sense, especially our eighth graders, because I go on trips with them. We go to national conferences. So I was already used to a teenager. And before Ashley came in my house, my second cousin from England came to the United States, and she lived with me. She was 18, and she did 1 year of high school. You know, she had already finished in England, so she did like a, you know, exchange program for a year. And then she ended up staying and going to college. So I was pretty much used to teens. And but, you know, I have to say, you know, going into it, I knew there would probably be some issues of some sort. But I have to say that Ashley is this amazing kid. And I know she's on the other line. So, but, you know, you know, this is a child who, I'll give an example, you know, and I think this is like, people have the stereotype that an older child is not going to be grateful, is not, they're going to fight with you all the time because they have issues, you know what I mean? There are
right.
things in their life because they wouldn't be in the department and in foster care, you know, if their home life was stable, you know what I mean, or if they didn't have issues, that are by far, none have nothing to do with them. You know, they've either been neglected or abused by adults. And but I'll have to say, you know, Ashley is, I'm the mother, so of course I'm going to say that she's the shining star. But, you know, she's a kid who wants to make it. And do we have our quibbles and quabbles? Yes. You know, I've learned that we don't really talk to each other in the morning, you know, because she's not a morning person. We talk to each other more in the car on the way to school. You know, she's a little more awake. But just as an example of a kid who wants to, you know, do things, for example, I called her last week, and I said, you know, Ashley, I'm going to be late. I got to stay at school. I'm doing blah, blah, blah. She's like, okay, no problem. She's like, oh, by the way, she's like, I brought in the garbage barrels and the recycling, and I emptied the dishwasher.
Oh, wow.
I was like, okay, thank you.
Wow, this is unheard of for this age.
Exactly. You know, without being asked. You know, I mean, there are those times when we both, she'll be like, oh, I'll do it later. And that's a normal teenage thing. But I have to say that I think a lot of people have the stereotype, you know, the stereotypical thought in their head that a teenager from, you know, the DCF is going to have so many problems that they can't overcome them, and that a home is, you know, that's why we're not going to adopt them. And also, their morals and values are shot. They're out the window. So we have no way of reining them back in.
Right, and I also think that, you know, people can look at that in a different way and say, you know what, though? This kid is going to be so appreciative, as Ashley is, obviously. She's going to appreciate everything, every minute she gets and everything that she gets in a way that other kids won't.
And I totally agree with you. I mean, I teach in a very affluent district, and, you know, I have to say that I see kids that they break an iPod and, hey, they get a new one the next day, and they don't even think twice about it. I have to say that Ashley is very careful with, like, all her clothes, and, you know, it's interesting because she's not had in the past, she realizes the value of what she has now. And, you know, the other day we were in Kohl's, and I was like, look, there's some, you know, let's go to the clearance rack. And they were having, like, 80% off and then another 20 on my car, you know. And she's like, Mom, I don't need any more pants. There's some really cute ones out there, but I'm fine.
Wow.
Don't buy me anymore. You know what I mean?
Wow. That's wonderful. Hopefully it stays that way for you.
I think, yeah, well, that's just her personality anyway, so.
That's wonderful. Well, you are listening to Faith and Family on KFUO, and we're talking with Liz Benstead and Ashley Garcia of Westford, Massachusetts. If you have a question or comment for either of them, or maybe you'd like to share your adoption story with our listeners, give us a call, 800-730-2727, or email your questions or comments to family@kfuo.org. We're going to be addressing those coming up on the second half of the show. Ashley, I was wondering if you could maybe tell us a little bit about how your life has changed since you have been adopted.
Oh, well, where do I start? Well, I always had the passion to travel, and I think I finally got it because I got a mom that loves to travel. So, I mean, I've been to Las Vegas, Arizona, North Carolina, and, I mean, it's really changed a lot. I even made student of the month at my school. And
well, congratulations. That's wonderful.
Yeah, thank you. I never thought that I would be student of the month. But, yeah, I mean, I love my new life. It's better than before.
Well, that's wonderful. Liz, how would you say that Ashley is doing with her new life with you?
I think that, you know, she's doing wonderfully. And I think with most kids, And I would say this with, I would probably say all kids that are adopted from foster care, they continue with therapy. And, you know, Ashley sees a therapist once or twice a month, and that definitely helps her, I think. But I have to say the one thing that, you know, I just see this child so bright and bubbly, you know, and she's lively and she's funny and she, you know, wants to do things, and, you know, she loves to sing, and she loves to dance, and, you know, when she first comes in my house, you can definitely see the changes over the last, you know, when they first move in, they don't know me. She didn't know me. She
sure.
knew me from Adam, and, you know, I made this comment to Ashley the other day that, you know, when she first moved in, you know, she would go to, she has her own bathroom, and she'd go to the bathroom and to shower, and she would, you know, bring all her clothes, and at night she would put on her pajamas, and I swear they would be like feety pajamas, you know? and now it's completely different, you know what I mean? It's like a normal household, and, you know, she'll just run in my room and jump in my bed and, you know, say, hey, Mom, what's up, you know? And what are you watching? Can we watch something together? You know, or we'll go out for a walk and talk, or you know, we like to go out to eat a lot. That's our big thing. I'm not the biggest cook, so.
That's wonderful.
But we do
though.
Talk a lot over dinner. You know, she tells me her day. You know, and she hangs out with her friends, and she's made a lot of good friends at WA, where she goes to school, and she's on the for extracurricular. She does the WADA, which is it's called Westford Academy Theater Arts.
Okay.
And she does the makeup. All the actors and actresses, and loves doing that. She may even go to makeup school.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So definitely some maybe future plans.
Exactly.
That's wonderful. It sounds like it's growing wonderfully for both of you. Now, Liz, you chose not to adopt from outside of the United States. Maybe can you tell us a little bit about that, why you chose not to?
Well, you know, I don't begrudge anybody that goes you know, overseas.
Sure.
Has, you know what I mean? By any means. First of all, I wanted an older child, so that would be, it obviously is easier to do that through the department. And I knew that there are so many children in this country that need a home. Currently, right now, there are approximately 443 children in the United States in foster care. And about 115,000 are available for adoption. And, you know, you can actually go online and go, I believe it's a usadopt.org, and they profile a lot of the kids. Now, in our state, they also profile, it's MARE, the Massachusetts Resource Adoption Exchange, where they profile children on their website that are available for adoption, meaning that they, their birthright parents have given them up so that they are legally free for adoption. So I would have to say that knowing those statistics, I wanted to make sure that I could help a child in this country. You know, I do my part with World Vision and Christian Children's Fund. I have, you know, two children that I support overseas, but I felt to give someone a better home that I could just do that right here in the United States.
That's wonderful, and she's going to have so many opportunities now that she has that parental support. Ashley, what would you say? Obviously, parents teach their children a lot of different things, but your case is a little bit different. Would you agree, I guess, that maybe you both learn from each other? And maybe tell us some of the stuff that you have learned since you have, I guess, lived with Liz, your new mom.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I've learned about it, but, I mean, she taught me things like, oh, man, I can't even think of them right now. It's so many. I mean, I already knew how to respect others and stuff, so that's just a thing that I learned on my own.
Sure.
Oh, my gosh. It's a thing that she taught me. I can't think of any right now.
Are there maybe different things that you, what did you do over the Easter holiday that maybe you would have never done before?
Yeah, that's one thing. I didn't really go to church until I started living with her. Like, now I really go to church, and I'm starting to believe more in God than I usually did.
Well, that's wonderful news, and keep listening to us. We've got some good news here. we call us the messenger of good news. So that's great. What are some other things that maybe you've, maybe new things that you're doing that you weren't doing before?
Man, I don't know.
I guess you're more active in school and you're able to do more things in that sense?
Yeah, except public speaking. I overcome that now, obviously.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, something tells me that now that you have this relationship, you're going to be able to overcome a lot more challenges, that you have this parental support. Well, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back from the break, we're going to learn about a brand new charity that Ashley has founded that's going to help other kids that are in foster care. Again, you're listening to Faith and Family. We're at KFUO. We're talking with Liz Benstead and Ashley Garcia of Westford, Massachusetts. If you have a question or comment for either of them, we would love to hear from you in the second half of our show. So please give us a call or email your questions or comments, 800-730-2727, or email us family@kfuo.org. In St. Louis, 314-505-7850. And we'll be right back. Welcome back to Faith and Family on KFUO. We're talking with Liz Benstead and Ashley Garcia of Westford, Massachusetts, about their adoption story. If you have a question or comment for either of them, or we'd love to hear from you. If you have an adoption story that you know about or in your family, give us a call. Our listeners would love to hear from you as well. 800-730-2727 or in St. Louis, 314-505-7850 or email us family@kfuo.org. Now, I guess every parent says that their child is special. That's a given. But after talking with you, Liz, I'll kind of agree with you that Ashley truly is kind of special in her own sense in that she wants to help other kids who are in foster care. Tell us what she's up to.
Well, I probably still going to let Ashley tell about her project, but I have to say that, you know, she came to me at Christmas time and said, you know, Mom, I feel so blessed, and I really want to do something, give back in some way. And she knows that, you know, I'm a real big proponent of service. I run a service class here for eighth graders, and student council does a lot of service. So she's been a lot of places with me. She's gone, you know, a lot of things to do with service. She already came that way, though. She was already helping out at a cat shelter before she moved in with me at her last foster home. So I said, well, let's sit down and talk about it. And what do you want to do? And she said, well, I want to do something that would affect, that has something to do with foster children. And so we talked, and I'll let Ashley finish what it is.
Okay, go
really
ahead.
Her project.
Sure, go ahead, Ashley.
So it's called Bag Full of Hope. It's me giving duffel bags to foster children with a book and a stuffed animal. And the reason why I wanted to do this is because usually DCF gives them trash bags to put their stuff in, and I feel like that's not fair enough. Like, they need to feel like they have dignity. So I felt like I needed to give them a bag for them to put their things in so they can feel more, you know, good about themselves instead of having a trash bag.
Now, you say they give them trash bags. What are the trash bags supposed to be used for?
To put their stuff in to go to different foster homes or their first foster home or something.
So there's no suitcases or any kind of thing like that? All of their belongings, is that what you're saying, is just put in trash bags?
Yep.
Okay, that doesn't paint a very pretty picture for a child to have to move from where they're at.
Okay.
I guess, what has inspired you to do something like this?
Well, because I went through it, and because I want to give back since I already, you know, went through it, and I already have what I wanted. So I just want people to feel good about themselves, even if they're in a foster care, it doesn't matter.
That's wonderful. Liz, and you had mentioned earlier to me that this charity has already kind of taken off with some donations. Can you tell us about that?
We started off with doing the bag, and we thought we'd do it like a teddy bear or something like that. And Ashley was a Wednesday's child, and across the country there's about 100 stations, TV stations, that do Wednesday's child, or they may do like a Tuesday's child. But Wednesday's child was started here in Boston by Jack Williams, who is the anchor for Channel 4 for CBS WBZ. And 35 years ago he started this charity where he would profile a child once a week that needed to be adopted, that was legally free for adoption on TV, and then people would be able to call in. They would be a special number that would go to, like, for DCF, and they could ask about that child, and then, of course, DCF would say you have to do XYZ to be able to even be considered. Ashley was profiled in August of 2011 on Jack Williams, Wednesday's Child, and then after we were adopted and we were profiled again together on the eve of Thanksgiving, they asked us both to come down to the studios. And one of the reasons they wanted to do that is they wanted the proof to show to everybody that, you know, an older child can be adopted and it work out. So in January, this January, we got a phone call from Jack, because we call him Jack now, and not Mr. Williams. And he was like, Wendy's Corporation, I don't know if many people know this, but Wendy's Corporation, Dave Thomas, started the Dave Thomas Foundation, which is for foster children. It is for foster children to be adopted. Now, Dave Thomas himself was not, his children were not adopted, but he was adopted. He became a very good friend of Jack Williams before he passed away. And so Jack was actually going to Wendy's Massachusetts corporate meeting, and he asked us to come with him, and he had an hour time slot. And Wendy's, I don't know if they do it out in your area, but here they do coupon books twice a year. And those coupon books, you buy them for $1, and you get 4 free fries and 4 Frosties free.
Okay.
If you buy the coupon book. And all the profits from the coupon book either go to Wednesday's Child or they go to the Dave Thomas Foundation, 100%. So we were invited to go, and, you know, we said, okay, they asked us to say a few words. So Ashley and I, you know, we sat down and discussed what we wanted to talk about, and Ashley wrote her essay, her school speech, and I wrote mine. And, you know, Jack got up and introduced us and had the video on from before, and we got in. Well, we got up, and Ashley, you know, was really the star of the day. And they gave her a standing ovation because she's just amazing. And one thing she said to me, I said to her she should mention her project. And she was so cute, and she said, Mom, I don't really think I should. She's like, it's Jack's day.
Aww.
She's like, we're here to help support him. And I said, oh, I know that, but, you know, we're talking, Jack would be happy that you mention your project. So she did. It was probably 4 or 5 lines, and, you know, they gave her a standing ovation. We got off the stage, and at the end of the, you know, hour, they asked us to come back on, and we were both shocked and amazed that Wendy's Corporation, the president for Massachusetts, came up and said he was so impressed with Ashley, and more impressed at the fact that she wants now to help somebody else out, that Wendy's Corporation was donating $1,000 to her charity to start it off, because we were just like in the planning stages. And then Jack spoke up and said that he was matching it. So in an hour, she got, you know, $2,000, and we've already spent most of that money to get bags. We're hoping that next, in April, we have April vacation, but after April vacation, we will be going to DCF in Boston to deliver the first set of many trips down to give them bags.
Wow, and what a wonderful start to a charity. That's wonderful.
It is. And I have to say, you know, one thing that this is kind of spiraled out of control in some ways, but my best friend lives in North Carolina, and she mentioned the book The Suitcases, which was written by Ann Hall Witt, and she's passed away. But she was a foster child herself in the Depression with her two sisters. And she wrote this book in 1986, and it is entitled The Suitcases. And, of course, it's talking about how they were moved around from home to home in this little ratty-tatty suitcase that they had that was practically falling apart. And it's very, very poignant, and, of course, it has a very happy ending. You know, the story at the end is happy. But, you know, I have to say that this book very much parallels the lives of many children today in foster care. After speaking with her son, you know, he was like, wow, things haven't changed in 60 years.
Wow.
So we actually, the book is out of print. The only way you can get it printed is it is in print, but only for a school. The Krosnor School in North Carolina is a school for Appalachian children and foster care children. And they have a store, and that is where Ann Hall went. And she went to school for high school. She was with a family, but they actually brought her to the school, and they sell her book, so we're able to order the books through them so that the book can be placed inside the bag. And Ashley can tell you what she's going to do inside the front cover of the book.
Go ahead, Ashley.
Well, I'm planning to write a letter to each child that gets my bag, and I'm going to sign my name on it so they can always look at it and say, wow, someone really cares about me.
What do you think you'll write in the little note to them?
Well, I'll say that someone's always there for you no matter what, and always keep your head up and pray, I guess, yeah.
Wow. Ashley, you're so young, but you're, I think, wise beyond your years. You've given me goosebumps. That's such a wonderful thing, and I think that there's going to be a lot of kids that are going to be looking up to you. And if this charity takes off, like I think that it will, and it already has started, Ashley, what are your hopes for as far as how many kids you're going to be touching here?
I've hoped to touch every single child, to be honest. I want everyone to feel good about themselves.
Great. Liz, how do you think Ashley's past will affect where Ashley is going in her life? And I guess, what do you look for in her future?
Well, I see Ashley's future is to be as bright as it can be, you know. And I think that it's just in one short year, I've seen huge changes in Ashley. And, you know, I can see those continuing. I know she, you know, wants to go to school. We've talked about going to college. We've talked about her going to makeup school. You know, but like most teenagers, you know, some teenagers don't even know what they want to do, you know. But she definitely wants to go to college. And I can see, who knows, she might be a speaker, an advocate for, you know, foster care children. I think the system in some ways needs to change. Across this country, and you know, she could be maybe their spokesperson.
Absolutely. I think these possibilities are just endless, and that's wonderful. Now, tell us again, this is called A Bag of Hope, and what all is going to be in the duffel bags?
Go ahead, Ashley.
It's going to be the book, stuffed animal, and the letter inside the book. And I haven't decided something else yet, but I'm definitely putting something else in the bag.
Wonderful. And we can put a link on our website or some information on how people can help out on this charity. Can you tell us, Liz, do you know, is there a place they can donate to help out with this charity?
Yeah, we currently right now, during the summer, of course, we're both very busy for school right now, and school will be wrapping up in June. So we're hoping to do the paperwork to make it nonprofit, but the paperwork is enormous. But until then, people that are willing to donate, can mail a check directly to Ashley, and there's a P.O. box in Westford. It's P.O. box 882, and it's Westford, W-E-S-T-F-O-R-D, Massachusetts, and 01886.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, and listeners, if you didn't catch all of that, just go to visit KFUO.org, click on Faith and Family for that information. We will post that as well, do anything we can to help out here. Listeners, we'd love to hear from you. Maybe you've been adopted yourself, or maybe a family member has. We'd love to hear your story, 800-730-2727, or you can just email us, family@KFUO.org. There's plenty of time still. I guess, Liz, as a mom, how has Ashley changed your life for the better?
Oh, my goodness. You know, every morning I want to, not that I didn't want to get up before, but every morning I want to get up and just have fun with Ashley and do things with her and, you know, try to teach her the things that, you know, we all should be doing in life and helping other people and paying it forward. And, you know, there are small things that I do that, you know, I think we all can teach lessons that don't have to be a lesson. You know, the other day we were picking up someone from the airport, and they had, Ashley had taken Heather to the car, and I said, well, I got to go, you know, pay the fee at Logan Airport, so you have to do it before you, you know, drive out. And this gentleman was ahead of me, and there was a whole bunch of people behind us, and, you know, he was like, I am so sorry. He looked at all of us. He goes, I'm short $3 to get my car out of this parking garage. And, you know, as a Christian, $3, what's $3? You know
right.
what I mean? And he's like, I don't have my credit card with me, and I've already put $140 of cash into this machine, and now I'm short $3. He's like, I will write a check. I have my checkbook. I can write you a check. And I looked at people, and I, like, as I was going through my wallet to say, I have the $3, not one person, like, stood up or stepped up to the plate. And I'm like, it's $3, people, you know, and I just walked up to him, and I'm like, here it is, and he's like, oh, thank you so much, and I'm like, no, just pay it forward, you know, and there are those kind of small lessons that when I got in the car, I said that to Ashley, and those are lessons that she will take with her, because I know that, you know, if something was to happen, you know, to Ashley like that, I would hope somebody else would do the same, you know, or for even me, for the fact. And so, you know, she's just a shining star. That's all I can say. You know, she's just this bright, bubbly, sassy kid who is amazing, fantastic. You know, I'm trying to think of more adjectives than I off the top of my head.
Any good one that you can come up with, that's what she is.
Exactly.
Ashley, maybe would you, I guess, tell me... you have learned from each other between the two of you. What are some other things that you've learned from your mom?
Well, she made me feel like she's like the true mother that I always wanted, to be honest. I feel like she's amazing to me, and she's going to help me throughout college, and I'm really happy about it. Like, I'm really happy that I have someone to support me all the way.
Wonderful. What would you say about your future relationship with your mom as you grow older, maybe 10, 15 years from now? What do you see as your relationship?
Oh, my gosh. I would call her every single night, no matter what. I'll even live right next to her. I love her.
You know, when she said that, she has. She's like, I'm going to live next door to you. I'm like, okay, that might be pushing it a little bit, but... You know, I want Ashley to fly and to soar, and, you know, but we do talk all the time, you know what I mean? Even if it's, you know, even if it's just a five-minute quick conversation, I definitely can see us talking, or, you know, in this day and age, you know, there's Facebook and there's, you know, Skyping, and, you know, who knows what 10 years of technology is going to bring to us. But even if she was in Paris, you know, wanting to live in Paris, doing something, I agree with Ashley that we probably would be, you know, on the phone, you know, every day or every other day, at least once a week as she gets, you know, older and has a job. And, you know, I've always, like, even we've made the little joke that, you know, when I have grandchildren, you know, I'll be like, you know, I'll be, you know, what happens at grandma's house stays at grandma's house. You know what I mean?
Uh-oh, you're already setting that up.
I know. And she's like, you had better not give my kids a lot of candy, you know. Just, you know, the fun little things that you have, you know, and I can't wait to see her get married and walk down that aisle, and I can't wait for her to graduate college, you know, but we have so many, like, you know, people say, oh, well, you don't have much time together. She's 16. And I don't believe that. You know what I mean? She is my daughter. She'll be my daughter for the rest of my life. And, you know, she's going to be there. And no matter if she's on the other side of the earth or not, you know, living in Australia, working for who knows, doing whatever.
Well, that's wonderful. And Liz, we typically teach our children, you know, everything that they know, or at least we would like to think so. Has Ashley taught you anything?
Oh, she's, yes. I mean, I have to say, she has taught me to be, to try new things, although I'm still not going to be doing the roller coaster. when we get to Busch Gardens.
There are limits, is that so?
You know, but, you know, like, just, you know, to try and do different things and, like, let's go places and be more spontaneous, because sometimes I can be like, okay, I got to make sure I have my plans in order. I think it's because I'm a teacher and I'm an academic coach, so I'm always very, like, organized and, you know, and sometimes you don't need to be like that. You know, you just need to be, you know, fun and just go off the deep end and do whatever. And Ashley is like that. But she stops to think about what she's going to do, you know what I mean, beforehand.
Great. And Ashley, your future, I mean, it has no limits, especially now that you have that parental support. What are your plans for after high school?
Well, I'm first going to take a gap year, and I'm going to apply to City Year, which is like community service, but I guess you, like, get paid for it, and they give you, like, an apartment to live in. And then after that year, I'll It depends. I'll probably go to makeup school or, well, not makeup school. I'll go to community college for 2 years, and then I'll see if I want to go to makeup school or keep going with a regular college.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And what grade are you in high school now?
I'm a sophomore, 10th grade.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Liz, what would you say if you could give advice for different people and couples out there that are maybe considering adoption, they're not sure which way to turn, if they're wanting to go across the country or across the world, or they're not even sure they want to adopt at all, what kind of advice can you give for those people?
Well, I would first say, there are a lot of resources out there, and just in your own state, a lot of them have the adoption profiles of children, and just to go on there and look at these children that are on there. And the one thing I don't like about that, like for example, like Mayor, is that I do feel like you're kind of going, okay, well, what kind of bread do I want today? You know what I mean?
Right.
But I understand why they do it, and it's a way to get a child out there. The next thing is, I would definitely say, is to call your local DCF or your DSS, depending on how, if it's either Department of Social Services or in Massachusetts, the Department of Children and Family Services, is to say, can I take the class? Because no matter what, you have to take the class. And if you're willing to give up one day a week, 4 or 5 hours in the evening, it's usually in the evening, for about, 5 months, it's almost like a grad class. You're there with other couples or singles that want to adopt for whatever reasons, and once you take the class, you get a certificate, and that certificate is good for I think 3 years. So, like, some people take the class and they say, okay, well, right now is not the best time for us to adopt, but maybe in January it will be. But at least you've started the class. Because I have to say, like I said before, the process does take a long time, and you don't realize it until you start on the process.
I was going to say, is there anything?
It's Adopt U.S. Kids. It's if you were looking, and they give a lot more information too, like on how to foster or how to become an adoptive parent, and it's adoptuskids.org.
Wonderful. Is there anything that you suggest that people don't do if they're thinking about or considering adoption?
No, because I think that there's really no, I think the biggest fear is they think they're going to get a child that they can't handle. And I have to say the process in Massachusetts was fabulous in the sense that one of the things we had to do was when they did your home study is they sat down with you and they gave you a list of things that a child could possibly have. Running the gamut from there's nothing wrong with this child, which that would practically be at 0%. I mean, because all the kids in foster care are going to have something. To maybe they bed wet, to maybe they have a mental handicap or a physical handicap, and they definitely spell them out, like, very specific. And then you would check off, yes, I'd be willing to take that, I could handle that, or no, or it's a maybe. So if it's a maybe, they would call you and they would discuss it beforehand. I never met Ashley until after I received all the information about Ashley.
Wonderful. Ashley, with just about 30 seconds left, if you could give advice to any foster children that are out there, they're waiting, they're hoping to be adopted, what advice or what could you tell them?
Don't be afraid to meet new people. Always give everything you got and just go out there no matter what.
Wonderful. And real quickly, Liz, can you tell us again how people can help this wonderful charity that Ashley has started?
You could email us if you wanted to. They could email me. We're going to do a separate email, but ebenstead, and you can put that on the website at verizon.net, or they could mail if they would like to do a cash donation. They could mail it to P.O. Box 882 in Westford, Massachusetts, 01886.
Wonderful. Coming up Wednesday on Faith and Family, we'll hear from another mother. She was pregnant in college. She chose life, and we'll talk with her and how they were reunited after many years. Thanks for joining Faith and Family. We'll be back tomorrow at 11. Thank you so much to our listeners and our guests.